So if you were to study the typical structure of my sermons, instead of focusing on the content of the messages, if you studied the structure, here's what I think you would discover. You would find that in the first part of my sermon, I tend to explore the meaning of the scripture texts, and then I build upon that to present the theme that's come to me from those scriptures. I explain why the scriptures support that theme, and then usually I end the sermon with a restatement of the theme for that day. But today, let me state the theme at the outset. Here it is. You ready? God will make it better. That's the gist of today's scripture verse worth remembering. It's a verse worth remembering because it can inspire hope and trust, especially in times of anxiety or depression. That verse is Romans 8:28 that Thomas read. We know that in all things God works for good with those who love him, those whom he has called according to his purpose. As I said, my simple summary of that verse is God will make it better. And when you skinned your knee as a child, you knew that your dad or grandma or the school nurse could take the physical pain and the emotional trauma of that skinned knee, and they could make it better, even though the hurt lingered for a little while. Well, today I propose that whatever hardship or trauma, whatever evil or negligence you're enduring, God will make it better. And that can be very hard for us to accept, that somehow God can take our emotional distress, take our financial struggle, take the physical pain of illness or injury or aging, take the anxiety of world events, that God can take all that bad stuff and somehow transform it into something good. The reason we have a hard time accepting that God can do that is because when it comes to living our lives, we are immersed. We're involved. We're too close. We don't have the benefit of perspective. Let me illustrate that for you. Now, I don't know if everyone's done this at some point, or if I was a particularly strange child. But when I was little and I'd watch TV, every once in a while, I'd go right up to the screen, maybe like an inch away, and I'd look at the little dots that made the black and white image. This was back in the days before the world was in color. And I was so close to the screen that I could see the little white or gray or black dots created by that electron gun hitting the phosphorus coating on the inside of the picture tube. Now, of course, I was too close to see the image that the dots created on the screen. I couldn't tell if the image was clear or fuzzy. I couldn't tell if it was moving or stationary. From that perspective, I couldn't make sense of what was happening on the screen. And aren't there times when we can't make sense of what's happening in our lives, too? Like, why am I getting hit with so many unexpected expenses right now? Or how come I can't seem to get over this illness? Or why are those children antagonizing my child? Or what's caused my best friend to start ignoring me all of a sudden? Or what's the deal with North Korea or Iran or Russia or Syria or Charlottesville? And let's face it, though we may try to wear a smile when we gather for worship each week, the reality is that not everything that's happening in our lives is pleasant or constructive or joyful or easy. Stress, grief, anxiety, betrayal, disappointment, emotional turmoil, physical pain. Into each life some rain must fall. That's what Ella Fitzgerald sang. So did the Ink Spots, so did Lou Rawls. Into each life some rain must fall. Or, less poetically, in the irreverent Broadway musical comedy called Avenue Q, the characters sing what many of us feel from time to time. They sing, "It sucks to be me." Yeah. Life's disappointments and struggles may cause you to feel like that for a moment, or a day or two, or maybe for months. For years. Where's God? When we're reflective or desperate or spent or scared, that's what we want to know. Where's God? And more importantly, why isn't God doing something about what I'm dealing with? St. Paul responds to such pleas in today's scripture verse worth remembering. Remember, he writes, "We know that in all things God works for good with those who love him, those whom he has called according to his purpose." Does God really do that? Can God somehow achieve something good even through the events, even though the events of our lives or these periods of our lives cause us to be discouraged or depressed, scared or exhausted, infuriated or numb, hurtful or sorrowful? And if God can somehow make anything good come out of something bad, how? Well, why does God even permit bad things? Well, when God created this world for us to inhabit, God designed it to give us the privilege of freedom and choice. We are not mind-controlled robots that automatically adhere to every command that's been programmed into us. No, God gifted us with the opportunity to know God and recognize God and choose to serve and revere God or not. And within that freedom, humankind has the capacity to help or hinder, to heal or hurt. Now, God hopes we'll choose the good. By coming to us in Jesus the Son, God appealed to us yet again to choose reverent obedience and loving service. But the opportunity for humankind to choose the bad is always present. And that's why bad things happen even to good people, as the saying goes. So hardships are a normal part of the natural world. And I point that out to dispel the perverted idea that God would send pain or hardship or tragedy into your life for the purpose of teaching you a lesson. No. That would be as abusive as those reports that surface from time to time of an adult touching a child's hand to a hot stove, supposedly to teach them a lesson. God doesn't bring hardship into our lives to teach us lessons. Now, maybe during times of despair or distress, you've thought to yourself, I don't deserve this. And you're right. But in times of joy and good fortune, have you ever said, I don't deserve this? Because you'd be right on that too. Acknowledging the highs and lows of daily life, the book of Ecclesiastes offers this guidance. On a good day, enjoy yourself. On a bad day, examine your conscience. God arranges for both kinds of days so that we won't take anything for granted. See, we're not promised lives of ease or lives of struggle. We are promised that in Jesus Christ, God will be with us always to the end of the age. God's not a passive bystander watching from afar. Elsewhere in Romans chapter 8, Paul asserts that by God's Holy Spirit, God is present in all of our successes and disappointments, all of our joys and challenges. Here's what Paul writes. God who sees in our hearts knows what the thought of the Spirit is, because the Spirit pleads with God on behalf of His people and in accordance with His will. In the Spirit, God is with us in all times. So, how is God able to work for good in all things? God sees the big picture because God has already painted it for us. God can redeem hardship. God can salvage tragedy because God knows where we're headed. As a Bible scholar explained, God knows the end to which God will bring the creation, namely redemption. And God knows that this destiny is firmly set in God's purpose. The destiny has already been set. God knows our destiny. God has set our destiny to be redeemed, to be transformed, to serve God's will, God's purpose. To use a fancy theological term that you may have heard before, God has predestined that we will grow in the knowledge of the Son of God to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We have confidence because the future is already in God's hands, not ours. So what does it mean that God sees the big picture that we cannot? Well, I came across a story that told how all afternoon some little boy was trying to put together his birthday gift from his father. It was a picture puzzle, jigsaw puzzle. And some of the pieces were bright and some of them were dark. Some of them seemed to go together. Some seemed to fit nowhere. And finally, frustrated and exhausted and with nothing to show for his efforts, the boy gathered all the pieces and put them back in the box and gave it to his dad. And he said, I can't do it. You try. To the boy's amazement, his father assembled the entire puzzle in just a matter of minutes. And the father said, you see, I knew what the picture was like all the time. I saw the picture in the puzzle, but you saw only the pieces. Well, Paul tells us here that God causes all things to work together for good. Those all things are the pieces. Paul then tells us how they work together for good. according to God's purpose. That is the picture. So we are not asked to be Pollyannas who deny that hardship and evil ever touch our lives. As people of faith, as those who love God, as those whom God has called according to God's purpose, it's okay for us to acknowledge that joys and sorrows, that triumphs and failures happen to us within the expanse of God's creation. But we profess that we can only see one small part of God's great design, our lives. As 1 Corinthians 13 assesses the difference between our perspective and God's, it says, "Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known." Our faith assures us that whatever we suffer, whatever we do endure, God will make it better. Because we know that in all things God works for good with those who love Him, those whom He has called according to His purpose.